veteran gun rights. They're at stake, they have been for a while, and what's going on amidst all the smoke and mirrors of everything else that they want you to focus on rather than what's really going on, is in the House there's some hearings going on about a bill for the VA in which part of that bill looks to re-establish some Second Amendment rights for veterans who had them wrongly removed by a rule under the Obama administration. I want to talk to you about it. I'm going to read you what the White House just put out about it, because it's pretty clear the motives. And then I'm going to show you a little bit of a back and forth between Thomas Massey, who is a Second Amendment champion for us in the House of Representatives, and one of the other reps who is looking to strip rights from veterans or to prevent the restoration of those rights. It's disgusting. While they want you to focus on everything else, like the trial results, they're trying to destroy the Second Amendment for the people who decided to put their lives on the line for their country. First off, I'm going to read you this document. It's quick, that the White House put out, that Biden's administration put out in response to this bill. Now, it's H.R. 8580, and it's entitled The Military Construction and Veteran Affairs and Related Agencies Appropriations Act of 2025. It's a funding bill, and they're hitting some hiccups, the Democrats are, because the Republicans have a majority in the House, and the House holds the purse strings. Look at what the White House said. The administration strongly opposes House passage of H.R. 8580. And this came out yesterday, making appropriations for military construction, the Department of Veteran Affairs, and related agencies for the fiscal year ending September 30, 2025, and for other purposes. Earlier this year, the administration and members of both parties in the Congress came together to pass bipartisan appropriation bills to fund programs that keep Americans safe and healthy, invest in education and affordable housing, and build on the economic progress of the past 3.5 years. These appropriations bills are consistent with the agreement the President and the House Republican leadership reached last year to avoid a first-ever default and protect the President's investment agenda and critical programs from deep cuts using necessary adjustments to statutory caps. Rather than respecting their agreement and taking the opportunity to engage in a productive bipartisan appropriations process to build on last year's bills, House Republicans are again wasting time with partisan bills that would result in deep cuts to law enforcement, education, housing, health care, consumer safety, energy programs that lower utility bills and combat climate change, and essential nutrition services. Similar to last year, H.R. 8580 includes numerous partisan policy provisions with devastating consequences, including harming access to reproductive health care, threatening the health and safety of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex Americans, endangering marriage equality, hindering critical climate change initiatives, and preventing the administration from promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion, so further destroying the fabric of America. The administration stands ready to engage with both chambers of the Congress in a bipartisan appropriations process to enact responsible appropriations bills that fully fund federal agencies in a timely manner. If the president were presented with H.R. 8580, he would veto it. The administration would like to take this opportunity to share additional views regarding the House Appropriations Committee's version of the bill. So there's a lot of woke stuff in here, I'm going to warn you. So I'm going to show you the Second Amendment part of it for the veterans that are getting screwed by the VA. But first, before I get into it, I want to thank the sponsor of this video, and it is Lear Capital. You've heard me talking about precious metals and telling you that our experts were calling for record high gold. It's here. Gold has broken through that $2,300 an ounce level. Will it stop there? I don't know, but those same experts are now calling for gold to reach $3,200 an ounce or higher. And silver is rising as well. I bought my gold and silver from Lear Capital last year, and today I'm up over 21% on my purchase. Since 2020, every dollar in your wallet's lost 24% of its purchasing power. That's why I bought gold and silver. It holds value and can actually increase in value. Call my friends today at Lear Capital, 1-800-260-5075, or go to LearGG.com. Get their free information and ask your questions about buying gold and silver. They are ready to talk to you about this. Give them a call today, 1-800-260-5075. Again, 1-800-260-5075, or head over to LearGG.com. Thank you to Lear Capital for sponsoring the channel. So there's a lot of stuff in here from how the Department of Defense can use some construction funds to the president not agreeing with the section of the bill that would prevent him from closing Gitmo, that's Guantanamo Bay, the Navy base in Cuba where we house some of the worst of the worst, to other things like, you know, like the president said in the opening, like DEI stuff and abortions and LGBTQ plus IA, whatever the moniker is. And even the section where it says only certain flags can be flown at federal buildings, and those flags don't include other flags of the groups like you would think, like Black Lives Matter and LGBTQI plus L, like basically fly American flags. They don't agree with that stuff. Here is the section about the gun rights of our veterans. National Instant Criminal Background Check System, NICS. The administration strongly opposes Section 261 of the bill, which would prohibit the VA from reporting a person determined to be mentally incompetent during the VA benefits evaluation process without the order or finding of a judge, magistrate, or other judicial authority. Potential beneficiaries deemed mentally incompetent already can obtain further review of that determination. The proposed revision would effectively prohibit VA from reporting mentally incompetent beneficiaries who need a fiduciary to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, thus creating a dangerous loophole that would allow these individuals to obtain firearms and endanger their safety and the safety of their communities. Now, rather than to wax on this, I'm going to let Thomas Massey tell you exactly what this is. This came to play under the Obama administration. It's not even a law, it's a rule, and people are having their rights unconstitutionally removed because they check a box. But here is the commentary with Thomas Massey and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. It's worthy of watching.
I know there are a lot of rioters here. There's one I'm somewhat familiar with, and I heard you, Ms. Wasserman Schultz, discuss it in your opening testimony, and that's on the NICS background check system. Can you explain to me what your aversion is to that rider, what your concern is?
Yeah. When you have a veteran who has been referred to a fiduciary to take over their finances, that means that they are actually prohibited by federal law from buying or possessing a gun. And this bill carves out an exception and prevents the VA from referring a veteran who would otherwise not be able, under federal law, to purchase or possess a gun to continue to do so. And that's dangerous to the veteran. We already have a really serious suicide problem, and almost always when a veteran commits suicide, it is because they have a gun. And this bill endangers the lives of veterans and of their loved ones.
So I have actually talked to veterans who've been affected by this rule. It's not a federal law. And so I find it appropriate that we just talked about the power of Congress to appropriate. Now let's talk about the power of Congress to make law, because Congress never made a law that said if you have a fiduciary for your finances, that you now can't own a gun. That's something the liberals over at the VA created during Obama, and it's been going on a long time. I've had whistleblowers call me about this who work in the VA. They actually do these interviews. They talk to the veterans, and typically what happens is a veteran may be, you know, 25 or 50% disabled, and they apply for 90% or 100% disability, and they go through an interview. And in that interview, if they make the mistake when they're asked the question, do you manage your own finances? If they're thinking, well, my wife has the checkbook, if it's a man, and he said, and they say that, that box gets checked that they do not manage their own finances. That should not be an adjudication of whether somebody should give up their Second Amendment. In fact, not only is that person now added to the Brady list, nobody, there can't be a gun in the household. Not only can they not buy a gun, they can't have a gun in the household. So now the spouse is deprived of protection. We're talking about somebody who's 90% disabled, a veteran who was willing to risk their life for this country. And now because somebody in an interview checked a box because they said their wife has the checkbook, now they can't own a gun? This is not due process. And I know this for a fact. I've talked to multiple people that work at the VA who've gone through these interviews. I've talked to veterans. I've talked to veterans' wives who've been through this. And you say there's a process. I see the president's statement on this bill says, oh, there's a process to go through. No, it involves years. It involves lawyers, which most of these folks, if you're applying for disability and you're a veteran on a fixed income, you don't have $20,000 to go pay a lawyer to try to get your rights back because you accidentally, because you were truthful. It wasn't an accident. You just didn't know that telling the person giving you the interview that your wife has the checkbook would put you on the Brady list. Now, here's the other reason they don't appeal it. They get that letter that says you've been added to the Brady list at the same time they get their approval for their disability. And the implication, it comes the same day. The implication is if you contest this, you may lose your disability benefit. You were willing to put your life on the line for this country, and now some bureaucrat adjudicated you to not manage your own finances, and then some rule, not a federal law, some rule that the VA came up with says that if you don't manage your own checkbook, now you can't own a gun. It's ridiculous. One of these whistleblowers told me he went to the person's house and the guy's literally trading stocks on his computer. Like, he's not mentally defective. He just admitted that he doesn't have the checkbook. And so this is something that we did. I think we did a CRA on this, but the obviously the president was a Democrat at the time, wasn't going to sign it. And also, when Trump became president, the clock had run out on this, so you couldn't do a Congressional Review Act on this. And it is long past time to quit taking guns from disabled veterans merely because their wife, or if it's a female, their husband, has the checkbook.
Mr. Massey.
Yes, Ms. Wasserman Schultz. Okay. I want to ask you a question first.
Sure.
Do you think that's a fair way to adjudicate this? Do you think if somebody doesn't manage your own finances, they should automatically, without a judge, be put on a list to say they can't have a firearm?
I think you're mischaracterizing the process, first and foremost, because it's not just, my husband manages our finances, but he is not my...
Don't tell the VA that.
No. I'm happy to tell the VA that because...
They'll take your guns.
Because he's not appointed as my fiduciary. This is a formal adjudication in which a veteran has a fiduciary appointed to manage their finances. That is not a bureaucrat, as you described them, sitting down with a veteran and reviewing, does your wife manage your finances? And they check a box and then suddenly their guns are taken away. That is not how the process works. You have to have a formal adjudication. And beyond that...
Is a judge involved?
Whatever, I'm not familiar with the...
A judge is not involved.
Okay. I'm not 100% sure how a fiduciary is established. I believe it's a judge, but it is not the way you are describing, where they sit down and have an interview and their wife manages their finances and they lose their guns. In addition to that...
Let me interrupt, and then I'll give you more time.
Appeals process that allows them, before their guns are taken away from them, they are able to appeal.
You're correct. You did say it's a lengthy appeals process. It's so lengthy it may never end, and it's expensive.
In the sense that it is a rigorous one that makes it hard for the final decision to be that the veteran loses their guns.
I think it's ironic we use the word adjudicate when there's no judge involved. And the administration tried to do the same thing with Social Security. If you had a representative payee, if your Social Security check went to somebody else, they tried to promulgate a rule that said everybody on Social Security that has a representative payee is now going to be thrown into the NICS background check system. Not only does that mean you can't buy a gun when you go fill out your form 4473 and they run the check on you, it means you are a felon when you sit at home with the guns you already own, or if your spouse has a gun that you can get access to when they're not home, then you're a felon. They tried to do this very same the thing they're doing at the VA.
This doesn't make them a felon.
They tried to do, oh, really? If you're on the prohibited list, the Brady list.
That's when, if you have a fiduciary appointed for you, that does not make you a felon.
Really?
Yes, really.
What about when you get the,
that somebody is responsible for your managing your finances.
Well, I think you're about to learn something here.
We have a rampant suicide problem with veterans.
What happens is
they use their guns.
They
kill themselves.
No. You just said, you're saying it's not a crime once you be, you're a veteran and you own a gun and you get on that fiduciary list?
No. What I'm saying is that having a fiduciary appointed for you does not make you a felon, and you don't get a fiduciary appointed for you because you're a felon. There are...
That's correct. You don't
criteria.
Get a fiduciary... Hold on. That's correct. You don't get a fiduciary because you're a felon. But right now,
at the
VA,
guns taken away.
The only criteria is if you get on that fiduciary list, then you get on the Brady list. You get the letter when they approve your benefits. I went through this with at least two people. I'll yield you some time here. Two people that work at the VA that told me this is exactly how it works. I talked to a distraught wife who's been battling this for a couple years to try and get not just her husband, the veteran's guns rights back, but just her right to have a gun in the house. And this is what happens. They don't, it's not an easy process to get off of this. And the veterans typically, as was explained to me by the people that work at the VA, I will call them whistleblowers, the veterans typically don't try to appeal. A lot of them will just try to keep their gun and stay under the radar, illegally keep their gun, because the same day they get the letter that said, we approved you moving from 50% disability to 90 or 100% disability, they get the letter. In fact, it may be in the same envelope, I'm not sure, that says, now you're on the Brady list. You will be a criminal if you have access to a firearm.
Mr. Massey, there are three criteria that are used to determine whether somebody is ineligible to purchase a firearm. One, you have to be a felon. Two, you have to be a domestic violence abuser. And three, you have to be adjudicated as mentally ill. And one of the ways in which someone has a fiduciary appointed for them is when there is a mental illness. You don't just easily get declared that you are incapable of handling your finances and a fiduciary is appointed for you. There is generally a serious problem in which the veteran needs intervention and a fiduciary is appointed to them, which is aligned with when someone is adjudicated as mentally ill, they are not able to purchase a weapon. And the reason that that is so important to make sure that we leave that in place when it comes to a veteran is so that we don't add to the veteran suicide rate, and we don't add to the number of veterans that are killing their own family members or that are engaging in violence with firearms.
What you say can be true, that somebody who is found to be mentally ill is then assigned a fiduciary and then loses their gun rights. But it can also happen that somebody is not found to be mentally ill, that they all they have is a fiduciary. They try to do this exact same thing at the Social Security Administration, and we stopped them here in Congress, I believe with the CRA, the Congressional Review Act. But we weren't able to do it at the VA. People who are not mentally ill are being put on the list of people who will be criminals if they keep their guns or try to buy a gun or even have ammunition in the house. And rather than beat a dead horse here, I'm just going to close my comments by saying this is a very needed rider, and I would hope more people would get educated on this. Talk to your veterans. Talk to somebody who's lost their gun rights, who's not mentally ill, who was simply trying to get their disability because they were willing to put their life on the line for this country, and now they can't even exercise their Second Amendment. So I support that rider, and I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Chair, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, so as you can see, the Democrats don't even know what they're talking about. They're just pushing the agenda at all costs. And you know what? I am going to give them a round of applause because at least the Democrats stay on target, stay focused, and push forward no matter what. The Republicans, on the other hand, don't do that, which we need to change, because when we have Democrats, who have all three branches of government, they get their agenda done. They don't care about anything, like what the people think, what the Constitution says. They just push forward. And when Republicans have all three branches, all three parties, like the House, the Senate, and the President, rather than the judiciary, I'm sorry, it doesn't go that way. And that's a problem. That's why we have so many restrictions on our constitutional rights, and we don't really get stuff back because, you know, a lot of that is the two-headed coin. And which brings me to this, like, the section I just read to you and that Thomas Massie was talking about of this bill related to the Second Amendment rights of our veterans, there were Republicans who voted against that section. In fact, let's call them out. Here they are right here. Michael Bost from Illinois, who's a Republican, and I'm going to butcher her name, Amua Amata Coleman Radawagon from American Samoa. Those two Republicans voted against this amendment that is in here because they just didn't think... They think that people should be stripped of their rights because the oogie-boogie scary agenda or the BS without actually knowing the facts. Let me know what you guys and gals think below. Are you a veteran who has gone through the process to obtain your benefits, your disability benefits, and accidentally or unknowingly check that box saying somebody else handles your money, and as a result are in this basket? Let us know. I would love to learn more. I appreciate each and every single one of you guys and gals. Check out TriStar Trading. Today, I just forgot until I just said that, today is Killdozer Day. It is the anniversary of the Killdozer, and TriStar Trading's shirts for Killdozer are phenomenal. Check them out, become ungovernable, and remember, you are your own first responder. I got a text from a friend of my father's, who I know well as well, who lives in a different state, and texted me and said it was an altercation he was in, and because I always tell people to be safe, stay vigilant, carry your gun, because you never know when you're going to need it, he said that it saved his life. So carry your firearm and save your life. God forbid you ever have to. Save someone else's as well. Appreciate y'all. Subscribe to the channel. Get me over that 700,000 subscriber mark for my birthday, which is July 25th. It is a huge goal. We're really close, and I have to thank you for that. Appreciate y'all. Have a great day. I'll be back with more stuff the government does to try to strip us of our God-given, unalienable right. They don't give it to us, and we're not giving it to them. Take care.